Chapter 12. The Mid-Autumn Festival. Drums thundered, instruments clanged, firecrackers popped and banged. The scent of food filled the air. It was barely controlled mayhem as people hollered and shouted, creating a massive cacophony for such a small village. A dragon hopped and skipped throughout the village, the great puppet moving in time with the beat. The children attending the festival gleefully chased its tail, while people talked and relaxed after finishing the harvest. I cheered along with the crowd. Man, the village elders could move. They were making that dragon puppet bop. I always appreciated the hard work that went into these things. I had seen a mid-autumn festival once in the before, and honestly, this blew it out of the water. The sheer coordination alone was impressive as they began jumping in time, sending the dragon slithering up and down like it was flying. I was transfixed as it spiraled and whirled, completely absorbed by the performance. The dragon got faster and faster, slithering, jumping, and whirling around poles with increasing speed as the drums thundered towards the finale. And what a finale it was, as they ran up a wall and jumped off backwards, leading the dragon into a spiraling backflip. The crowd went nuts. I went nuts with them. That was amazing. Brother Jin! Yunjin called out to me with a grin, and I held out my cup again. It was filled with rice wine to the brim, and I downed it in a single gulp so I could keep cheering. Yunjin was dressed up like everybody else in the village, and so was I. The vibrant red clothes looked nice, even if this set wasn't mine. I had planned to buy more clothes from town for Meihua's wedding, but I'd ended up borrowing some of her father, Yao Chu's, clothes instead, because we were roughly the same build. It was a red sort of tunic and black pants. With it, I looked like I belonged, like one of the villagers, instead of my usual outfit of old martial arts gis. I was seated at the biggest table that had been brought out beside Xian, Mei Ling's father. His seat was currently empty, as he was with Yao Che and Song Tenzhen, Yunzhen's father, inside the dragon puppet. The dragon was leaping and skipping off, which let the older men finally have a break, their performance finished. This was great. I was relaxing in my chair at a festival with a good drink and the promise of better food later. I filled up Yunzhen's cup this time and we drank again together. I sat back and just soaked in the atmosphere. Everybody was in a good mood with wide, happy grins on their faces. From the kids playing around to the people drinking and cavorting, even the people making the food, it was wonderful. I sighed with contentment and looked up at the sky. The twilight sun felt warm and gentle on my skin. This is fantastic, I declared to my companion, grinning at the village. The village does have its charms, doesn't it? Yunzhen said. Our Hong Yao Wu tries its best.
Try our best? Yunzhen, you scamp, we succeed with our best, Yao Che thundered,
red-faced and sweaty from the dragon dance, though he had a giant grin on his face. His beard and hair stuck out wildly, freed from the bandana he normally wore to keep the sweat out of his eyes. He was the quintessential blacksmith. Big, wide, and strong-looking, with rough features. Yunzhen just rolled his eyes at the chastisement. Mei Ling's father staggered into his seat beside me, puffing and panting.
That gets harder every year, he muttered, looking a little faint.
He gave me a nod and a quick smile, and then thumped down into a seat to rub at his legs.
Your dance was fantastic, Elder Yao, Elder Hong. Let me pour you a drink, I said, then grabbed the bottle.
Both of them looked a little surprised, and Elder Yao's grin widened further as he let out a booming laugh.
Look at how much face our honored guest gives us, he exclaimed, as I poured both of them cups. Call me Brother Che, Brother Jin. There is no need for formalities when you saved my precious flower from those wicked, vile men. Were she not intended for another, I would be happy to give you her hand.
His voice was as loud as his laugh. Yao Che had one volume, and that was booming. My smile got a little strained. It was a bit awkward that he was that loud with his opinion, but he seemed to disdain the scholarly sorts who weren't named Xian.
I'm honored you think so highly of me, Brother Che, I said as sincerely as I could.
Yeah, awkward, seeing how his daughter was intended for another, and this was basically doubling as a party for her wedding as well. At this, he took another bottle from the table and poured me another drink,
He held out his arm, and Zhou's memories told me to hook my arm around his. We drank our cups in a single mouthful. Mei Ling's father was next, pouring me another cup. That went down the hatch too, along with the 20 I'd had previously. Well, as a cultivator, I was a lot more tolerant than your average person, but even I had a limit. But that limit was measured in bottles rather than cups.
Oh man, I'm gonna be so drunk later, I thought, kind of looking forward to it.
This place was really relaxing, and if I got drunk, things should be fine. Soon enough, the food came out. Roast ducks, dumplings, and mooncakes. The smell was heavenly. The table started to fill with more and more people. It was like those big summer barbecues back in the before, and man, I was all for it.
The ones I made are on the left,
Mei Mei whispered to me as she set down a platter before she whirled away to get more things out for people. My eyes lit up.
Hell yeah, Mei Mei's are the best, except no substitutes.
Hong Xian led a toast, thanking everybody for their hard work this year, and then the feast began. We all tucked into our meal to music and pleasant conversation. We talked, we laughed, I held hands with Mei Mei under the table and praised her cooking until her face went crimson. What a wonderful day. I followed Xian back to his house, my stomach full to bursting and my head swimming pleasantly. He had asked me politely to follow him after the feast, and judging by the look on his face, I had a bit of a feeling that I knew where this was going. Me and Mei hadn't exactly been subtle with our glances. He sat on a cushion and gestured for me to sit before him. Xian's hair was the same green-tinted shade Mei Mei and little Xian had, and he had a small beard. He looked pretty dignified, and was probably what most people in this world would consider attractive. He was about 5'5", so a full half foot shorter than I was, but then again, the only man who I'd met so far that matched my height was Yao Che. We sat for a moment, just staring at each other, and then Xian finally spoke.
Zhou Jin, he said, in a stern voice, before drawing in a deep breath. You are courting my daughter without my permission.
I winced. I hadn't asked, and that was a big no-no, but he didn't seem too upset. Hong Xian continued, apparently satisfied at my show of contrition.
I will allow this, but only if you answer one question for me. When were you going to ask me for my daughter's hand in marriage?
It was a loaded question, a question that I had spent some time pondering. When I had enough food to feed her, enough fabric to clothe her, and a house worthy of her, I replied, without hesitation. What had started as an idle thought of getting married had rapidly overtaken my mind as I spent time with Mei Ling. It was fast. It was nearly Las Vegas fast, but when in Rome, I had already met her 3 times, and to a lot of people here, that was good enough. Some people didn't meet the woman they were going to marry until the day it happened. But did I really want to make this commitment? I did like her. She was cute, hardworking, and knew when to throw off the no-nonsense attitude to have some fun. There would be time after the betrothal to get to know each other. Like I thought before, this will end in tears or happiness. I'd try my hardest for happiness. So I cast my hand. Hong Xian considered my words, and his stern visage melted off his face, revealing a smile.
I accept your proposal, he stated simply. This spring, after the snows melt, I shall give my daughter to your house.
Xian bowed his head.
Take good care of my Mei Ling.
I blinked. My stomach churned. This was real. Yeah, I had been planning for it, but planning and this is happening are 2 different things. Getting married. It was a more mundane problem than I'd been anticipating when I first woke up in a world of battles and cultivation. But hell, it was better than my other problems. I bowed back, not trusting my voice.
Now, share a drink with me once more, for you shall be my son.
I got a bit misty-eyed at that. Family was important to both Zhou and I. I felt a twinge from his memories of his parents and Gramps. I grabbed the wine Xian offered me and took a deep drink.
Please, please, let this work.
Mei Ling wondered what her father's announcement was about. He stood on a platform with a lit paper lantern, the members of the village below him.
My friends,
On this holy night after our toils, on the eve of one wedding, it is with great pleasure that this Hong Xian announces another.
There were happy gasps and intrigued whispers all through the village. She idly thought about who the wedding could be for. Maybe Yun Zhen or Gao Zhen to somebody. Probably not them, since she hadn't heard their mother or father say anything. Who could it be?
When the snows melt in spring, the house of Hong will unite itself with the house of Zhou. Hong Xian's daughter, Hong Mei Ling, will be wed to Zhou Jin.
There was silence.
Huh? Mei Ling thought.
Mei Hua gasped happily beside her, pulling her into a hug. Slowly, Mei Ling turned to her betrothed. He was watching her, both anxious and nervous.
This was really happening. Yes, she had daydreamed, and yes, it was something she had thought about, but he wanted her.
Slowly, she felt a smile form. When Jin saw the happy, near-exultant look on her face, a relieved smile crossed his, too. The paper lanterns rose into the sky. The people of Hong Yaowu hooted and hollered as Mei Ling ran and jumped into Jin's arms. The wine flowed throughout the night as people stuffed bottle after bottle down Jin's throat, enough that she started to worry about him. He drank enough to kill a man already, draining bottle after bottle and remaining surprisingly coherent while others passed out. She had taken a glance at the stocks, and they barely had any wine left at all. But even Jin seemed to have his limits. She was pressed up against his side, and he retained enough presence of mind not to start trying to kiss her in front of everybody. But every time he looked at her, he smiled. It was big and stupid, and it made her heart skip a beat. But even that had to come to an end. They did need to leave in the morning. Jin was staggering as Mei Ling led him back to the guest room. Honestly, she was surprised he was still capable of moving under his own power. He had to have drunk nearly 20 whole bottles of wine, as people kept on demanding to have drinks with him. Yao Che had long since passed out and required 3 people to carry him to a room. Everyone who was to see Mei Hua off the next day would be half dead in the morning. That included Mei Hua herself, who had kept toasting to Mei Ling's good fortune. She would have to make plenty of hangover cures in the morning. It was also why she had wanted to postpone the festival, but Mei Hua had wanted to celebrate with them one last time before she would likely be spending her autumns in the town with her new husband. The thought hurt. It was the one blemish to an otherwise perfect night. She finally got Jin to the bed, and he tipped over, dragging her with him. He happily nuzzled into her neck and planted a sloppy kiss there. She sighed fondly while she ran her fingers through his hair, cradled in his strong arms. Soon, this would be every night, and she looked forward to it. But for now, she slipped out of his arms, and he frowned. She gently ran her fingers through his hair once more, and his frown disappeared. She had some elixirs to make. I smiled at Yun Zhen as he glared at me through bloodshot eyes.
Brother Zhen, your body is unfair. Trade it with me, he half-heartedly demanded.
Our pace was more of a funeral march than a wedding procession. Mei Ling's hangover cures had gotten everybody moving, and they were stumbling forwards instead of groaning messes unable to move from their bedrolls. They still looked dead on their feet as they trudged along the path like zombies. Even Mei Hua on her horse, who was still as pretty as ever, with not a hair out of place, was slumped forward and swaying. I leered at the stink eye Yun Zhen was giving me.
Come on, Brother Yun Zhen, I called in a loud voice, and half the people around me winced. It's a beautiful day.
The rest of the procession turned to give me a look. I reveled in their spite.